Hello and welcome to the ATG podcast. As usual, I'm Chris, and with me, Jamie and Jonesy. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, really good, thank you.
Yeah, wow, the energy is...
A new setup today.
A little bit of a change if you're watching on YouTube, yeah.
A new perspective.
Oh. I like it.
But if you're not watching on YouTube and you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, or...
Google, Audio Boom.
Audio Boom, Google Podcasts, all of them dope platforms. We're on there as well. But we're also on YouTube because we're a YouTube channel. So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, yes, welcome. I think this is going to be the last podcast of the year. How does that make you feel?
It feels weird to think that the next time we come back, it'll be 2019. That always makes me feel weird.
Don't you head at this time of year when everyone's like, oh, yeah, I'll see you in 2019. And you're thinking to yourself, you fucking idiot. That's a year away. And it's like, it's a week away. And then I'm like, I'm the idiot.
I guess so. It's kind of exciting at the same time, though.
Yeah.
Like, even though we did start 3 weeks before the end of the year, slightly unconventional.
Yeah.
Some people would wait for a clean slate.
But us, baby.
But I feel like 2019, it'll be our first time we're going into a new year with a full 52 podcasts ahead of us.
Yeah. Ooh.
Think about it.
Madness.
By the end of 2019, which starts in just a couple of weeks' time, we'll have done like 55 episodes.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's mad.
Yeah. It is mad. People are going to be sick of us eventually.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Shout out to the 10 people still listening by episode 55.
If you're listening to this in 2020, drop us a comment.
Well, guys, listen, 2018's been a tough year, so 2019, let's hope that we don't get negative numbers like we did in 2018.
Yes, let's see.
All right,
I feel like being a computer game channel, though, as well, I feel like...
A computer game channel. Jesus.
You can find us on YouTube under the computer game section.
Granddad time over here.
A video game collective, if you will.
Yeah.
That you find out what sort of gamer you are at this point of the year as well, because you're either an optimist for the games coming out in the future, right, next year, or you're like the sort of pessimistic, sort of glass empty person who looks back and goes, this year wasn't
think
as good
he, I think
as
he said glass
half empty.
Glass half empty.
I get what you're saying there. Like, we were discussing it the other day, right, where we were saying, like, looking back on this year, because obviously we had recorded our game awards.
Yes. Yep.
And we're just thinking of, like, all the great games that have come out this year. And then we're looking into next year. And while there's some good games coming out next year, like there's Anthem, Devil May Cry 5, Metro Exodus, we're kind of thinking, those are cool. Okay.
It's 2018, is it?
No, it's not 2018.
Yeah.
And there's a lot unknown in terms of what's coming out next year.
Like
Death Stranding, when is that going to come out? Last of Us 2, when is that going to come out?
I don't want to be the pessimist. But I like when we're going into a year and everything is sort of unknown, because you kind of come up with exciting things to fill that unknown with. But 2019 feels like it's going to be a weirdly quiet year.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Switch is going to continue to sell well, but Nintendo's first party lineup seems a bit barren.
Yeah.
Sony are being very, you know, no one knows what they're doing with their first party titles in terms of when they're coming out. And we know they're not going to be at E3.
But surely that's the curse at the end of a cycle, right? Because no one wants to renounce new games unless they're for the new console.
But what if that means 2019 shit?
I mean,
a real lull year.
How scary is it that the company with the most power in terms of who can sculpt 2019 is Microsoft?
Yeah.
Like, Xbox can make 2019 the most exciting year.
Yeah, and Phil Spencer actually said something about, like, hey, next year you'll see Xbox appearing on a lot more devices than you kind of, like, initially thought.
Oh, great.
It's gonna be an interesting kind of time, isn't it?
It will be.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the what could be. I think
it could be a great year. I hope we're surprised pleasantly.
I hope so. But
I also hope that we're at E3.
That would be nice. Jeez. Yeah.
Hey, someone send us, please. All right, guys. You know, I guess what we usually do at the start of these podcasts is we're talking about what games we've been playing since the last time we were on this podcast.
And we've actually been playing stuff this time, all three of us.
Imagine it. People on a gaming channel playing games. It's a Christmas miracle.
Crazy.
All right. So, Jamie, let's start off. What games have you been playing?
I think it's probably appropriate we get mine out the way first, because I think mine's going to be the most negative of the three games we're going to talk about.
Hey, negativity sells on the internet.
Apparently
so. Let's hear it.
So I'm going to talk about Just Cause 4.
Oh, okay.
Say it ain't so.
Which I was happy to wait till Christmas for, but Christmas came a little bit early for me and Rico Rodriguez, because I won some money at the casino.
Oh,
and
big spender.
Myself. Yes. Mm.
Wow.
Not bragging, but had a big night.
Okay. That's one of the nerdiest things I've ever heard you say. I won some money at the casino, so I went and bought myself a game.
How is nerdy? James Bond does that.
The buying yourself a computer game
is the
nerdy part. Yeah, so James Bond
That's the deleted scene of Casino Royale, is that he wins the match and then goes,
He went and got the deluxe suite at the hotel. You went and got Just Cause 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, and boy do I regret Just Cause 4.
But hold on, because you really enjoyed Just Cause 3.
I really enjoyed Just Cause 2 and, in theory, liked a lot of Just Cause 3.
Yeah, and so would you say that since Just Cause 2, it's just been a downward slope?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so what about Just Cause 4? So,
I guess Just Cause 4 for me was what I hoped would be my palate cleanser for the end of the year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
There were some really heavy games like Red Dead Redemption 2, and the idea of a game where I could, you know, I like the traversal system, very familiar with it,
yeah.
And I could just go around and blow shit up. I liked some of the things they were talking about, some of the dynamic weather effects, and that they were bringing back chaos as an element of progression. So, yeah. Again, just an incentive to blow shit up.
Yeah, yeah. New weather system.
Exactly, but I don't like it. First of all, the game looks like a piece of shit.
Really?
I know people throw around terms like, oh, it looks like a PS2 game. Sometimes this game looks like a PS2 game.
Wow,
some of the textures in this game are pure mud. I should clarify, I'm playing on a PS4 Pro. I know it looks better on a PC, but I'm not playing on a PC.
Yeah, fair enough.
It shouldn't look like a PS2 game.
Annoyingly, the frame rate is stable, which it wasn't in Just Cause 3. The frame rate is holding up for me so far, but as a result,
it really looks bad. Even with that weather bullshit.
Even with the weather bullshit. So far,
it's toned down the graphics so they can maintain the frame rate.
Like,
and
all kinds
decision.
Of weird graphical things, like weird jagged edges and weird sort of like weird dithering, almost like checkerboarding artifacts.
So do you reckon
kind of
they focused more on a stable frame rate then? So maybe they've got like an adaptive resolution or something.
Maybe. I think there's some adaptive resolution and stuff in there. But also, honestly, it just looks like a lot of the techniques they've used when it comes to, you know, the draw distance and how it's especially sort of foliage and kind of and trees and plants and stuff like that, the pop in on that kind of stuff, especially if you're in a helicopter or plane or even skydiving and going over a huge amount of the map.
Really bad.
It's really noticeable and it's just really ugly. And then you start playing the game and it's really uninspired.
Right.
Coming off the back of Red Dead, I imagine those graphical problems really.
Yeah.
Well, Red Dead, Spider-Man, and God of War, where all three beautiful looking games, stable frame rates for the most part. It's like, hell yeah.
I can see why it's difficult, and that, you know, because it's a game with explosions, it's a big open world, it's a huge sandbox, so I guess they've got a lot of technical problems. But at some point, they can't release a game that looks that bad.
And again, the game is also just not that good.
Yeah.
I felt like there were people within that team who understood what made Just Cause Just Cause, and there are some really cool ideas.
Yeah.
Like they've got loadouts for the grappling hook now, where you've got a balloon, like almost like a Fulton.
Yeah.
You've got the thing that makes the two ends of the grappling hook like smash together.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like,
The retractor. And you've got the booster things, which were sort of grenades that you put down in Just Cause 3. Then you can now attach them via the grappling hook, the tether.
Ah, right.
So they've got these loadouts that you're coming up with all these crazy combinations with, and it's almost like Gary's Mod, where you're putting boosters on the back of a truck and then balloons and you're flying tanks up in the air and boosting them along. And they didn't make a good game to do any of that shit in. The mission structure, the repetitiveness of the missions are cripplingly boring. There are no interesting characters, no good writing.
That's disappointing.
It is a dull, irrelevant. It doesn't need to exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to exist.
It always seemed to me to be that series that, like, you could forgive it a lot of its, like, you know, whatever it's done badly, because at the end of the day, it was just a fun kind of game, a fun sandbox to mess around in. And like, hey, I'm going to attach a cow to this guy on the scooter and then just fucking blow them up. You know, like, but
you can kind of still do that, which is why I'm not writing it off yet.
Yeah.
But there's a lot wrong with Just Cause 4, in my opinion.
I struggled with 3. I enjoyed 3. I got to the end of it, but at the same time, I struggled with it because there were times I thought, I don't know what this is trying to do. And it just sounds like, rather than get better, from what you've said, 4 has just gone the same route and got worse.
Which is frustrating. I think you guys will vouch, you maybe remember me saying in the months running up to Just Cause 4, man, I really hope Just Cause 4 is good.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be great. It's not going to be the game of the year.
Yeah.
I think it should be good.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head when you said like you were hoping that it would be a palate cleanser, because those kinds of games, that's what it is.
Exactly.
Okay, but let's talk about some positives about the game, all right? Because I've seen some.
Can you find any?
I think I know
what Chris is talking about.
Okay, so it seems that this game has some really fucking cool Easter eggs.
Okay.
Like really cool Easter eggs.
Some crazy ones. Yeah,
so off the top of my head, I'm going to talk about 3, okay? Mm-hmm. So one of them is they've actually built in Bennett Foddy's Getting Over It in the game. So you find a cauldron with like a little pickaxe in it, you jump in it, and then all of a sudden it turns into that style of game where you got to get over it. And I think they even, I don't know if it is actually Bennett Foddy, but they got some kind of a voiceover.
I think it's one of the Just Cause 4 devs doing a voiceover, kind of referring to the Bennett Foddy voiceover. Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah. So a whole kind of little thing done there. It's really cool. Then there's another one. You go into a building and there's like some stairs going down into this building, but it's like white.
Yep.
So you go into it and you can hear like this little tune playing in the background, like very soft. And you walk down these white stairs and everything's kind of got like a hand-drawn outline. And as soon as you go down in there, all of a sudden you're in the Take On Me world and Aha's Take On Me is playing. It's great. That's really cool.
It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
It sounds like they've put too much like focus and effort into the Easter eggs and maybe not into the main game.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they put more polish in the game.
It sounds like the internet. They've gone so meme heavy that the content is lacking.
Well, listen, talking about memes, the last Easter egg that I want to talk about, I mean, I'm sure they've got many more, but these seem to be the ones that keep on popping up. And this may be the greatest Easter egg I've ever seen.
Oh, big words.
Yeah,
just because it's that fine line of ridiculousness and fun, right?
Sure.
There is a gun that you can find called the cow gun. All right.
Right.
So you get these guns that they got camo on it, except this one looks like cow splodges.
Sure.
Right? You shoot it at people and they turn into cows.
Okay.
Not like moo moo cows, like human cows, like cows that stand on their hind legs and just go about their day.
That sounds a bit freaky.
Basically just changing the models.
Sounds like the sort of thing you'd love. So I can see why you like it.
I do love it. Alternate fire mode on the gun. Yeah. Turn yourself into a cow.
So you can be a cow turning other people into cows.
Just fill the world full of cows and then blow them up. That's great.
I wonder if they put that kind of shit in, because I hear that and my first thought is, well, we should just make a video about that. And I wonder if they're putting stuff in thinking, let's just put in shit that people will have to make videos about. Positive word of mouth. Yeah. Everyone's seeing these Easter eggs and talking about how bad the game is.
We're in the age of memes. And you know what? We will make a video. In the new year, we will make another Easter eggs video, and it will include one of those, if not all three.
There are games that works for, though, as well. I think that's maybe what they're going for, is they've seen like other titles where people just take them and run with them and they become massive, even though they're not the great titles.
Yeah, but hold on,
I wonder,
Jonesy,
if they're trying to do that.
When the only positive thing being said about your game are these like tiny little Easter eggs that will lose their novelty after 5 minutes. Like, come on.
But if they're popular on YouTube,
yay.
If you get to the point as well where you know that your game's not going to like win any hearts, then you're like, well, look, let's do something.
If they end up with better SEO than the reviews do, then they are, they're killing it.
All right, well, I wonder how many people have seen those Easter eggs and said, you know what, I'm going to buy Just Cause 4 just off the back of
Hopefully
it.
None.
Hey, I bet some have already.
If some of our viewers or listeners...
Oh, I want the game with the cow. I want to be a Take On Me.
No, you don't.
I bet there's a few people out there that see the Take On Me thing like, oh my God,
be honest, this game. Have you heard that from Chris's mouth and decided you want the game a little bit more?
No.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
Because that would be a very you move, Jonesy.
Look, I want to throw it out to our audience, right? If you have ever seen, and not necessarily Just Cause 4, but if you've ever seen anything online that was shared, like a meme or something that made you want to buy a game, let us know. You can be in touch on Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV, or of course our Facebook, All Time Gaming Official, or the best of all is our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/alltimegamingtv.
You're getting really good at those links.
I'm learning, guys. It's welcome to the podcast journey with Chris Joanidis. Okay, so that's Just Cause 4. Jonesy, what are
Let's move on to some greener pastures, I reckon.
Maybe a good game this time.
I played an interesting little game called, I don't know how to say it, it's Spanish, so I think it's Gris.
Gris?
G-R-I-S. Gris. Gris. Something like that.
Gris.
It means grey in Spanish, apparently. Which is exactly what the game is like when you first start playing it. It's a side-scrolling little indie jumper platformer thing, which is with a French kind of art style. You know, it looks like, if you imagine the cover of like a French magazine,
like a Vogue, like a hand-drawn.
Imagine I feel like that's a very ambiguous thing to ask.
No,
me to imagine.
like a Vogue
French
or something.
Magazine.
But
it's a very famous celebrity on there.
No, very like very sort of
like fashion.
French artistic fashion style.
Yeah.
I'd have to show you some artwork maybe so you can get, but it's so it looks
I'm not fantastic. I'm not that well read on my French artistic fashion French magazine.
Hey, well, listen, I this is your lucky day, because for Christmas I got you a year subscription to Vogue.
There you go.
You could have just
I don't think Vogue
Greece.
Would have that sort of look
I,
anyway.
I don't
There's
know.
Definitely some magazines.
Is Vogue still
anyway,
going?
Anyway.
Wow.
Also, is Vogue French?
Print?
I don't know. Anyway, this is a
they're all what YouTube channels now, Chris. They're all just making celebrities answer questions from Google.
Yeah.
That's the
And they're
the
raking in the views.
Doing ASMR videos.
I think we're doing the wrong kind of videos, guys.
So this is a going back to the game.
Yeah.
It's a fun little platformer on the Switch that I was playing. It's a very stylistic game. It's an indie game, like I said, so it's from a Spanish company based in Barcelona. I think it's Nomada Studio. Who made it?
Jamie's shaking his head like he knows exactly.
I was actually nodding in approval of like, well played, Jonesy. He's remembered
the
name.
I actually remember the name.
He clearly fell asleep last night saying Nomada.
But it was one of those where I got to the end of playing Mario and I wanted something to pick up and play like a short game. So I thought, okay, let's jump on the Switch and see what's available. So I downloaded it, played it. Actually, a really fun little game. It was lacking in sort of the platforming and the gaming aspects to some degree. Not very challenging, basically.
Sure.
But it looked good, and I think the whole story effectively was that you were you're in this woman's dream world, and it's very grey and dank and broken down. And over the course of the game, you rebuild her world and you reintroduce colours to it. So guess what? It's called grey.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So you get to a certain stage, and then you reintroduce yellow. Oh no, red. Well, red, green, and blue, I think it is. So you reintroduce each colour. And as you do...
Classic RGB.
The world is regrown around you. And it's quite a novel way of doing things like sealing off certain areas of the map and then opening up different areas. I mean, it's not an open world game. It's very linear, but you do get that kind of sense that you could go further afield if you wanted.
Yeah, sure.
But actually quite a fun little game. It's, you know, three and a half hours.
Can I ask, like, what inspired you to pick
it up? Yeah, this does not sound like a Jonesy game.
It's not a traditional Jonesy purchase.
It's not at all. So it was literally that thing of, I finished Mario, I was like, I want to play something else. I don't want to get bogged down because I'm still playing Red Dead, but I want something portable that I can take with my Switch. And so I went online and I was just looking at games that were coming up that were being released. And there was quite a few positive reviews from it. Although they were ridiculous reviews. They were like 9 out of 10. And I played it and I was like, okay,
it could be a 9 out of 10. Why couldn't it be a 9 out of 10?
But, yeah.
I can't get any higher than that.
How about 9 out of 10? It was one of those where you play it as you're playing, you're like, oh, this could be much more challenging, much more fun, and a lot bigger game, but you'd need a lot more elements to it, whereas they were quite basic and it was very simplistic.
But as Jonesy's well aware, this is the point in the conversation where I bring up Journey, which is a game that... if anything, it should be completed in 1 2-3 hour-long session that is all about this sort of quite simplistic but very beautiful art style.
Yep.
Not particularly challenging gameplay, but it's emotional, it's moving, and it is comfortably a 9 out of 10 game.
Yeah, true. Also, Inside.
Inside, exactly. Inside, perfect example. Yeah. You can play it in one sitting. Firewatch, played that in one sitting.
I think this lacked the... This wasn't the same caliber for sort of storytelling as those games were. It's very dry on the storytelling. It's almost like you take away from it what you want to take away from it. Some things are obvious. She's in a really bad place. They have some interesting little ways of saying that she's... like the beginning of the game, you push any button, you just like fall over. So you're walking and you push a button, you fall over.
Okay.
And then you unlock the jump ability. And then you can't... you can push... I think it's if you push A, she kind of chokingly lets out a little noise. And by the end of the game, she can sort of sing loudly and goes... and you unlock areas of the map. So it's an interesting way they've done it, but that's as far as they go in the storytelling route. So it's the world you just take from it and you go, oh look, it's quite grey and dark and things have fallen apart.
Interesting, if nothing else.
Apart from that, there's not a lot of narrative.
So would you recommend it?
Oh, I would definitely recommend it, But it's a 3-hour-long game. I think it was like £15, whatever that is in other money, I don't know.
Probably the same these days.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It was fun little aside.
Nice. Okay. All right.
Chris. I know you've got something you want to talk about.
Guys, I've just been waiting for you to shut up about fucking Far Cry 4.
The floor is yours.
Did you say Far Cry 4?
Yeah. Why did I say Far Cry 4?
Just Cause 4.
They're all getting the same these days, aren't they?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. The game that I was playing this weekend was Below. Okay.
Oh! Oh my god.
My most anticipated game of 2016.
The audience gasps.
2 years in the making.
Way more than 2 years, my friend. I think
5.
Was it like 2012 that it was like first announced or something like that? And it just kept on getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and it finally arrived and I picked it up, and I was a bit apprehensive, right? Because I was like, oh my god, I'm so excited.
What if it's shit?
Well, this is the thing. So I went on Steam ready to press that purchase button. And it said, you know, it's got the little, like, so many people have reviewed it, and it gives a kind of, like, overwhelmingly positive or good or blah. This one had mixed reviews. It's like, oh, my God, no, don't do this to me. Not in December. I need a win. There's been a shit year. I just got to end it, like, at least somewhere decent,
that would
right?
have been so crushing for Chris if Below had been shit.
Oh, man. So I clicked on those things to read what some people were saying about it, and some people were, like, really positive about it. In a way that I would expect them to be from what I would expect from the game. And some of the people were saying, nah, it's boring, it's bullshit, it's dog shit, blah, 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 don't buy it. I, you know, asked for a refund in the first 20 minutes. It's like, oh my God.
In 20 minutes?
Well, this is the thing
that's
like,
ludicrous. Yeah. No one can know.
Yeah, well, so this is the thing that kind of said, okay, let's try and temper expectations here, because anyone who gets rid of any game 20 minutes for the Steam refund, like how long do you need Steam refund for? Like, 2 hours or something?
Yeah, a couple of hours.
Like, just play it. And, like, if you've said on 20 minutes, you're just bitter about something,
that's
right?
That's mad, yeah.
Especially when 5 minutes of that 20 is just watching a boat.
Well, yeah, so we'll get to that, right? So
I watched a boat for 5 minutes and then I quit because I don't like rowing. Yeah. Too slow.
Yeah. So, okay, so I took the plunge up, but I was like, you know what? It was like 15, 16 pounds, whatever it was. I was like, let's go for it, okay? Oh, there's my phone vibrating. Thanks. So,
it's his mum.
Yeah, I know.
It's not really.
So,
Mr. Popular.
So I took the plunge, all right, and it starts off and like the music plays and it's like Jim Guthrie. It's really like awesome music, really atmospheric and top-down view of this like ocean, you know, waves kind of crashing around and there's clouds and thunder and rain and you're like, oh yeah, this is cool, all right? And I started recording it because I was like, maybe I'll make a video out of this. Let's see, all right? So I started recording it, and I had my phone on timer as well to kind of say, I'll record the first half an hour of this game, and let's see how it goes, all right? I shit you not when I say, without any player input, because you can't do anything, it just plays for you.
Yeah.
It's just a slow zoom in to this tiny little boat on this massive sea going to this island, and it takes like 5 to 6 minutes.
Brilliant.
No input whatsoever. No real scene change either. Just music for 5 minutes and then like slow zoom in.
It is quite brave, I suppose. It's a brave start.
It's a bold step. It's a bold step. And I can see where a lot of people kind of got put off by it. But I was like, I think because I'd read the reviews, I kind of was expecting it because people say, oh, you fucking sit and watch your boat for 5 minutes. I was like, all right, well, let's get ready for that one. And so maybe that tempered my expectations. But I got into it and started playing around, fucking around. Before I knew it, I wasn't even in the fucking cave yet, and it was like 20 minutes later because I was just like exploring the top of the island. So I was like, okay, I probably can't make a video out of this. But yeah, man, it is great in a way that I haven't played a game like that in a long time.
Yeah?
It's unforgiving, right? There's no explanation to it whatsoever. There's no tutorials. There's no text on screen other than some HUD elements.
Right.
So in other words, you go into your HUD and it's like craft. Like that
kind of fits with the intro then, right?
It's really good. Okay. And what's really nice about it is kind of just unraveling this mystery about what is this island? Why are you there?
Below?
What's going on? Exactly. What is below? That was their kind of tagline for it, right? So it's a roguelike. So you expect to die and you can die. There's some cheap things. Like there are traps that are like insta kills. There is a hunger, body temperature and hydration system.
I'm out.
Yeah, not
it's not a Jonesy game.
That was the exact same reaction I had. I'm like, oh, permadeath, hunger, thirst. Yeah, no. Yeah.
But
I having seen it and like from what you said,
it's
sounds
cool.
Good.
But it's maybe a bit more forgiving than I'm giving you credit for, because as you go along, you, much like Dark Souls, you can unlock kind of like shortcuts to get to where you got to go. Because when you die, you got to go to your body and retrieve this like lantern, this magical lantern that you've got. But it was really cool because you'd come across something, you won't know how to kind of like deal with it. And I guess that kind of, that's the like the old like NES games where that would happen. You know, like the original Zelda where everyone was like drawing maps and shit and then word of mouth explaining, oh, if you go here and put this bomb by this wall, you'll get like the secret, whatever. That kind of feeling, right?
Or how to see Lara Croft naked.
Yeah, exactly.
Swan dive off of the edge of the cliff into the pool below.
Exactly. Yeah. Not quite, but
then
yeah.
And 360 spin and up
so
and down. And
I've been staying away from Reddit in terms of it, but what I have been doing is going to the Steam discussion page for the game,
okay,
and just uncovering and being a bit of that community. It's nice being something involved in something that's like a little bit bigger than yourself. It's nice. It's like I can highly recommend it if you're not really into that kind of roguelike thing where you know death is a certainty, then. Yep. I understand, like, fine, give it a miss. But if you're into that kind of challenge, I have, within my first sitting, I was messaging Jamie, and I was like, Jamie, I've got my money's worth.
It's one of those games where I hear you talk about it and I really want to like that kind of game.
Yeah.
And I just know I won't like it if I play it. Just because it's not for me, but it sounds really good.
Yeah,
from what I've seen of it, it looks amazing. As
I would definitely say it's not a Jonesy game. It might be a Jamie game if he decided to pick it up, but I don't think he would.
I am not sure yet. It's not that I'm like not convinced. I like what I've seen.
Yeah.
I like the look. I like the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I like the tone it's going for. I don't mind that the combat seems like, other than the fact that the enemy variety sort of switches up as you progress.
Oh, listen, that's the other thing. The combat, the movement system, it's all really good.
But I just don't like to micromanage all those different systems. I don't want to think about my hunger and my thirst.
Yeah.
I don't want to die when I'm seven layers down and think, well, I've got to walk over here and use this shortcut to get back there and retrace my steps there.
Yeah.
Or just to get my old lantern back, you know. That kind of stuff doesn't appeal to me.
That's fair.
That's exactly
also
what puts me off as
Chris,
well.
You might want to block your ears for this bit, but
little
tidbit. So do you want to know what is below?
No.
You get to the 10th layer.
I definitely don't want to. And it's certainly not on the podcast
the bottom layer,
telling people what it is.
And there's a staircase. You walk down the staircase, only to hear Aha's Take On Me start blaring out, and the whole game goes cartoony.
How long are you guys going to be talking about? Are you done?
Yeah, we're done.
I was whining you up, mate. I didn't spoil anything. And you actually missed what I thought was a half-decent joke.
It was funny.
You told me to block my ears. So
I was writing it in my head for the last 3 minutes, so it better have been all right.
Well, now then, let's hear it.
I basically joked to Jonesy that when you get to the final layer of below, when you get to the bottommost layer,
the last floor,
and you find out what is below, you go down this one solitary staircase.
Yeah.
And in the distance, you hear Aha's Take On Me start to blare out.
I would fucking love that.
And then you're in Just Cause 4.
Hang on. In all seriousness, if Below had a joke ending and it was serious, if the only ending was a joke ending, you'd like that.
If the only ending was a joke ending, no, I wouldn't like it. But
if the dog ending of Silent Hill 2 was canon.
Yeah, no. Well, I think it is canon.
No, well, it's not canon.
I think it is canon.
It's not.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
This is a great argument.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
But anyway.
No, it's not.
No, the point is, if that was the only ending, then sure, that's shit. But if there was, by some way, a joke ending in Below where it was like, Aha's Take On Me, I'd be okay with that. As long as I could revert back to a stage where I could get to a proper ending.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with
that. It's like that. One of the cool things about Nier Automata is that it had 26 different endings.
Is that the great thing about it?
Well,
yeah?
No, it had 26 different endings, one for each letter of the alphabet. But it wasn't like, oh, we looked at all the decisions you've made and they're giving you one of 26 endings. The endings could happen at different. So if you die to a certain boss fight, you'll get like ending E, and it kind of jokily scrolls through the credits really quickly as though to say, oh, this is the end of the game, but it's not really.
It's not really. Right. You just carry on
playing. And it rewinds and you start continue playing again.
Yeah,
but it's cool.
That's a game that I got to get onto as well. I mean,
Jonesy's just bought it.
Yeah,
hasn't touched it. I reckon.
I know. I'm waiting until
that is such a Jonesy move, isn't it?
I'm being careful because I don't. I clearly want to take 3 months to complete Red Dead Redemption 2, and I'm going to buy a Nintendo Switch, three games, Gris, and Nier Automata before I do it.
You're just annoyed I still haven't finished Red Dead, aren't you?
Mm. I'm annoyed you haven't finished lots of stuff, Jonesy. You still have the A2G copy of Assassin's Creed Origins. Yes, and I finished Odyssey.
Yeah, bring it back, damn it.
I don't know where it is. That's a joke.
Classic. He's sold it off already.
He's going to run back home tonight and say, shit, where is it?
No, I'm not.
Turn the house upside down.
I'm not looking for it.
All right, guys. Okay, look, let's move on. Let's move on to the news.
Let's do it.
I feel like we've got to get a news sting. Like,
news jingle.
Yeah, it works all the time on TV for those anchors.
Yeah.
Gaming news.
Pew News does it. So.
Well, that killed it.
Kills a lot of things.
Everyone subscribe to PewDiePie.
Yeah, everyone unsubscribe to us. No. Okay.
They do that already.
News time. Jonesy, let's hear it. What do you got?
I have a nice little story for us here.
He's got it ready this time.
Oh, wow.
Look, prepared.
Improving every episode, guys.
Look at that. He's growing up fast, didn't he?
Growing up fast. So this was a story that I'm sure a few people have already heard, which is that through Sony's My PS4 Life, little videos and things they were doing for people, you could figure out how many players there have been of certain big games.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting... little thing to read through and see how big some of the titles on the PlayStation were.
Okay. So how did they go about finding out
So the way they did it was they had lists of how many people had or numbers for how many people had achieved certain trophies within certain games. So, right. So let's say 20,000 people have achieved this trophy, and that trophy has been achieved by 20% of the people that played that game.
So they're just extrapolated and there
you go. Then you just multiply it by 5 and you've got the total number of people that played that game. Easy maths.
Well, assuming it is all completely accurate.
Yes, obviously.
I guess what you could definitely say is, hey, that is the ballpark.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it's the ballpark. Unless they're going to their trophies mean nothing and their percentages are completely made up. I think it's a half decent.
All I know is I spoke to a lot of people who said there were pretty sure at least that there were errors in their My PlayStation Life video.
Well, yes. we had some errors in our videos.
Yeah, was it you who had an error something about God of War, like your God of War playtime didn't show up or something like that?
No, my God of War was there.
Oh, no, your Red Dead play. No, something.
Chris never played God
of War. I can't remember. It added games that I'd never played.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. Which is like, okay, fine. I've never played Destiny,
well,
sure.
Hopefully, given that this is based on the trophies, maybe this is a little bit more robust.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe. All right, anyway, okay, let's hear it. What you got? So what are the numbers? What are the numbers, Mason?
So the biggest one that people were talking about was Grand Theft Auto 5 has had 51,700,000 players, which is pretty insane.
Is this over its lifespan?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because this is
51 million.
If this is all people that got that trophy and that's, you know, for the whole lifespan.
Sure,
of the
game. That sounds a bit low to me if it's a lifespan.
So I was going to say that sounds high.
But you've got to think with Grand Theft Auto 5, I wonder if they're including PlayStation 3.
No, because it's a separate thing on the PlayStation Network.
Is it?
It's a separate set of trophies.
Ah, okay. Well, then it does sound high to me.
This is my PS4 life. It wouldn't even. The reason it sounds high to me is because Grand Theft Auto 5 is a game that I think one of the last estimates I heard was that it put it sort of in the 100 million units sold region. You add the 360, the PS3, the PS4, the Xbox One, and now the PC.
Yeah.
51 million on the PS4
alone? Yeah, that's true.
Alone?
I guess I wasn't thinking...
It's possible.
I wasn't thinking that it was purely PlayStation.
It's possible, but that's very impressive.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
If it's true.
Got a couple of others. So Fortnite, 16.2 million, but that is Europe and Australia only.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay.
Sure, I mean, not much to say there if it's just those two
on
regions.
The assumption that the US boosts up massively, that's plausible.
Yeah.
COD World War II was 24,600,000.
I can believe that.
Black Ops 4.
Hold on, you can believe that. 24 million when GTA 5 is 51.
It sounds like a lot, but I can see it.
Like that game only came out last year.
How much? But the thing is, Call of Duty games are always the highest selling game of every year.
Fair, but unless it's a year where there's a GTA, surely.
I don't know. Well, there's a Red Dead this year and Black Ops 4 still outsold it.
Yeah, mad. Okay, yeah. What
maybe 24 is too high.
Red Dead Redemption is... Yes, Red Dead Redemption 2, 6.1 million.
Wow. Mm.
So that means Black Ops 4...
That does not sound high at all, does it?
But it only came out like 2 months ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you've got to take into account the fact that over the life of a game like Grand Theft Auto 5, you know, how long has that been out and how many people have bought it like years after?
Yeah.
You know, some of these games have been out for a few months, so
I'm very skeptical. Right.
Any surprises there?
Black Ops 4, what did we say, was 9.2 million. Detroit Become Human was 2.4 million, which was a lot more than I thought actually for that.
2.4?
Yeah, 2.4.
It's a decent showing.
FIFA 19, 12.5 million. And FIFA 18, 32.5 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
You know, time since they've been out. One of the most damning numbers on here has got to be...
I think I know what this
Fallout
one is.
Fallout 76.
Oh, yeah.
With 407,000.
If that's true, that is...
diabolical.
Horrific.
Wow. Okay. I mean, yeah, Bethesda must be reeling over that one.
Yeah, especially because you presume
horrendous.
The PS4 outside of certainly on home consoles, it would have sold more on the PS4 than the Xbox One. You'd presume, even with the marketing deal, just because of the bigger install base.
Yeah.
So you know, if they're looking at less than a million units on home consoles, that's a shock.
I did read a report saying that Bethesda are going to be releasing a new game mode for Fallout 76 in the new year, but I don't.
It's a single-player story mode. Wait, no.
Yeah, we've brought back the NPCs and you don't need to be on a server. Basically, it's Fallout 4.76.
I've got a funny feeling that they will do some kind of backtracking. They almost have to, right? They'll include something that has some kind of NPC interaction with it.
Well, they're at a fork in the road. It's either like stop developing it because it's a failure, or put a lot of effort into it trying to bring it back. You know, like maybe pull like a Taken King kind of thing.
But 4 wasn't even that great.
4 was great. Shut your whore mouth.
4 wasn't even that great. So even if you say that's where they could get back to, that's not a great position to
move back toward.
4 was fantastic.
I will admit that it's not, you know, it's not a Fallout game that a lot of people wanted, but it was a fun game. It was a good game.
All right. Fair enough.
Right, okay. Jamie, news. What you got? What you got,
so
big man?
So I have brought the story to the table that I'm sure we've all heard by now. Because it's happened in 3 separate iterations over the last couple of weeks. An increasing amount of, at best, B-tier celebrities are suing game developers.
How dare you, B-tier celebrities?
Well, I mean, at best, B-tier.
At best, geez.
Some of them lower. Are suing game developers. Epic have been the crosshairs the most so far. For using dance moves that they created.
On Fortnite, right?
On Fortnite. Mm. And there are some other games and other series involved. And of course, the main people we're talking about, Millie and the Millie Rock. We're talking about the backpack floss. I don't know who he is. This kid who flosses.
The flosshole.
He can't have invented the floss, but he's suing them. Or his mum is suing them, which is great.
Oh,
thanks,
mum.
I love
mom
that.
Is.
Can you imagine he's just really embarrassed. Mum, please.
I like he said, mum, I told you to drop the lawsuit.
Mum, you're using my dance.
And maybe, at least I'm sure in the eyes of the people around the table, the highest profile name to take these guys to the cleaners, it's Alfonso Ribeiro.
Carlton.
Carlton of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fame, who, of course, famous for the dance, The Carlton.
Yes.
Which is also famous for being in literally every single game with a dance emote.
Right. And this is where it gets interesting, right? Because we have had a bunch of games over the last couple of years that have got away with using... The Carlton is the most obvious suspect, right?
Yeah.
Because the other two are slightly newer dancers. We are now seeing these people, these celebrities, fight back and claim that it is their intellectual property. We have certain people like Alfonso, like Carlton, who is in the process of trying to copyright the dance move.
Donald Faison from Scrubs?
Oh, for the... Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if he's got involved, but obviously that dance he does... Is his name Turk?
Yeah, Turk.
Christopher Turk.
That dance he does is in Fortnite.
Yeah. I think that's the default dance, isn't it?
Exactly. But the thing is, it's all getting a little bit messy. So the other franchise that's in the crosshairs right now is the NBA 2K series.
Right.
Which, again, has also used a lot of these dance moves. And a lot of the conversation has been around this idea of, can you copyright a specific dance move? And some lawyers are coming out and saying, well, actually, you can't copyright a specific dance move, but you can copyright a whole choreographed piece of dance.
It's like a routine.
Right, exactly, a routine.
And so I can't claim the sprinkler.
Exactly.
Like
but
one of those, you know,
but I reckon if you debuted the sprinkler in a 3-minute video that you were clearly putting on some kind of routine of which that was a part, you could copyright that routine. And so the person who's probably got the most of a leg to stand on, it sounds like, is Alfonso Ribeiro, because the idea is that the Carlton, because it has different moves and different sort of parts of the Carlton, is part of a larger routine that could potentially be copyrighted. But then there's also conversation about, well, is it actually the intellectual property of the showrunners? And by him being a part of that show, did he give up any...
Yeah, like who owns it?
Exactly.
Oh, I see, yeah, of course, because... Yeah. Like many companies, if you sign a contract, anything you do as part of that character is effectively owned by the company. Wow.
But Fortnite could be claimed to be the people that sort of brought it into the public eye, not just because they've got a huge player base, and obviously more people than ever are seeing and using these dance moves, but also because you could suggest, it's not unfair to suggest in my opinion, that Fortnite is monetizing these dance moves in a way that games previously haven't.
Yeah, and before they were just given away.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Fortnite... at times has directly profited from its ability to sell people these dance moves. And that's why people want to cash in. I just thought it would be interesting to discuss a bit around Fortnite, but also this idea of intellectual property and games borrowing dance moves, changing the names, who owns it.
It's such a sticky situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the floss one, the backpack kid, is a little bit easier because he didn't invent that. I mean, people have shown...
Maybe he did, dude.
No, he didn't. Well, there are people that have shown online...
His is the weird one because it's called the floss in the game. Most of the other dancers, like the Scrubs dance you mentioned, they change it. So
yeah, it's called
the name
else,
seems
to
have not be a reference whatsoever to where it came from.
Yeah.
The floss is called the floss, I believe.
So there are videos of other people doing that dance before he did it.
before he did it?
Yes, by quite a long way on YouTube.
So he popularized it.
There was
then,
one particular one, I think it was on from 2011, that was on YouTube,
someone doing it.
So with that sort of thing, I think you can probably say that if he didn't come up with the dance, but then he did popularize it. So maybe that has some bearing. The one thing for me about this, because I know there was a similar lawsuit a few years ago where, I can't remember who it was, but they were trying to copyright one word because it was like
The YouTubers?
No, was it?
Yeah,
no.
Fucking the Fine Brothers.
Fine Brothers React.
Wasn't the one I was thinking of, but that's a good example.
That's a great example.
This was a celebrity that said something, but she tried to cover it on. But you know, the Fine Brothers is a great example.
Citroën also tried to copyright 007.
Really? They did, didn't they? Yeah,
because they were going to have like a whole bunch of car models. Were like,
well, that was never going to work.
But the thing is, they have released cars. They're like 1007. But then, obviously, you can't because that's James Bond.
But so going back to,
actually, this is a good idea for a bit of publicity. Like that, we should try and copyright the word gaming or something like that. Like, just we should be the only people allowed to use the word gaming.
We'll copyright the word PewDiePie.
Yeah,
and just subscribe to us.
But if you go back to like how React, they tried to copyright React. They didn't get to. That's one word. They popularized it. Obviously, they didn't invent the word.
Yeah.
But had it been in a sentence...
As a genre, they popularized it, sure.
Had it been in a sentence, it would have been copyrightable because it would have been, you know, if you write something, then you can copyright that. So similar maybe to the dance move versus the choreographed piece of
dancing. Yes.
Yeah. But then at the same time, hasn't there got to be an element with this that you have to take money away from the person who did the original?
Yeah, you've got to prove like loss of finances.
The
statement from Alfonso Ribeiro's lawyer is, Epic has earned record profits off of downloadable content in the game, including emotes like Fresh. Yet Epic has failed to compensate or even ask permission from Mr. Ribeiro for the use of his likeness and iconic intellectual property.
His likeness as well.
Apparently he's saying his likeness. Maybe he's suggesting that the emote mimics his movements so carefully,
I'm
on his side a bit though. I must admit, like, if they've made a lot of money from that dance being downloaded, which they have,
spread the love. They've got so much money. Like, spread the love.
And maybe if they turn around, they go, hey, look, we're not going to give you a percentage of everyone someone buys, but we'll give you a few grand.
And the other point they're making there is they weren't even asked. So it does suggest that Epic are maybe not on thin ice, but they're playing a dicey game by saying, hey, let's just take these dances and come
on. But there's another aspect to this, right? When you are the top dog at the moment, no one's going to deny that Fortnite is the biggest game in the world, right?
Yeah.
Right.
No one's going to deny that. And if they are the developer of the biggest game in the world, then guess what? They've got a fucking target on their forehead, right? Yeah. So no one gave a shit about it when PUBG was top dog. Because, like, the default dance move, if we're talking about the Scrubs one, if it's the default, it's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
No one bats an eyelid.
So a lot of these were Destiny 2 as well. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost like, hey, Fortnite has been the biggest game since probably like January or February this year. Mm-hmm. What has taken them so long? Why are they all piping up now?
Yeah,
because they want to get paid, son.
No, because one person actually thought, you know what? Fuck these guys. I'm gonna take them to town, and then everyone's jumping on the fucking bandwagon.
Yeah. It's the same with the backpack kid. Like, if he had any real interest in trying to claim that dance move, and
it wouldn't
get
be his mom.
Yeah, exactly. And he would have done it ages ago.
Yeah,
because I feel like it's gotten to the stage now where every 90-year-old woman on the planet has been forced by a child to try and floss. Like, in houses up and down the world this Christmas and this New Year, there will be old ladies being forced to floss by nieces and nephews and grandchildren. He's lost it.
Yeah, here's a counterpoint.
Yeah.
Epic should sue Floss Boy.
What for?
Because Floss Boy was made because Epic introduced a whole new audience to him. He owes his continued popularity to Epic.
Was that? I don't know which way around it was. I don't know anything about the kid.
Me either.
It's just a kid.
Well, there's an interesting aspect to this as well, because had Epic not used that dance in their game, not Epic, but had other people not copied that dance move on videos and, you know, what's it called, tweeted out stuff, whatever, it never would have become that popular. So nobody would have heard of it. So he wanted people to copy it, otherwise it never would have been this big, and now he wants to get money out.
Because then you get into that weird area where actually you didn't do enough to protect your copyright, and it became too mainstream and commonplace that actually you lose it, because they're like, well, we can't reinforce this copyright because you were so lax with it that everyone's doing it and we can't do anything with it anymore.
He's also made money out of that being shared and being a known thing as well, because he's been in films.
Yeah, I'm sure. And why did those films and videos want him? Because a footballer did it as a goal celebration, and they saw it on Fortnite because they were fucking, as a team, they're playing Fortnite to like camaraderie or whatever bullshit they wanted. And Fortnite took it because of him. So, you know, you're a fucking cog in the machine. Yeah. Get over yourself.
This is a reminder as to every time another fan project gets shut down by Nintendo, everyone's like, oh, what are Nintendo doing? Just let us copy their games for free. This is a reminder as to like how complicated a lot of the copyright and trademark shit is. And Nintendo don't mess around, because it's like, again, as soon as you relax, as soon as they let one slip through the net, and like, what if they end up in a situation where Mario isn't Mario anymore? Everyone can be Mario, because it just, because they go, well, it's too widespread and everyone's doing it and everyone can copy it and we can't protect it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
so they shut that shit down.
Control your IP.
Exactly. Yeah. Look after your IP, guys.
Wow. Interesting can of worms you've opened,
Chris,
up there.
Spell iCup.
ICUP. Well done.
I bet you do.
I do, on the daily. Wish I didn't.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You really need to learn how to use a toilet.
You don't have to look that closely, though. That's on you.
All right, guys, I'm going to talk about my news story. Seeing as you asked.
What do you got, Chris?
All right. So, talking about Nintendo is a nice little segue.
Mm.
I'm going to just talk about some numbers, some crazy numbers.
Oh, great. Numbers.
From Nintendo. Specifically.
This is my favorite part of the podcast when Chris talks about numbers.
Why don't you just suck on it?
Can you give us another 10 minutes on below before we get to the numbers?
I wish I. Nah. All right, listen. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is the fastest selling Nintendo home console game of all time, caveat in Europe, but I'm pretty sure other places as well.
Pretty impressive.
That is really impressive considering, what, it's only been out for like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I played a little bit yesterday.
Yeah?
For the first time.
Thoughts?
I'm going to remain silent on that.
Is interesting.
Until I can play some more.
All right, when we come back for the first podcast of next year, you've got to give us your breakdown, all right?
Sure.
All right, then another number. Smash Bros. Ultimate has managed to sell 3 million copies in 11 days since its launch in the USA alone.
Pretty good.
Like, never mind worldwide and obviously Japan, because they're going to go fucking nutso for it.
Am I right in saying
everybody's here, Alex Jones.
Everybody's here.
Except for Waluigi.
Am I right in, this is a bit of an aside, but am I right in saying that the Switch is the fastest selling console of the country?
Well, that is my next number for you, right? The Nintendo Switch has become the fastest selling video game system of the current hardware generation through 21 months, according to the NPD group.
We're all one of those number.
We are all.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Roisin as well.
Yeah.
It's a great console, and you know, it deserves the success it got. I just wish that they'd hurry up with a few more games. Like some of that streaming stuff that they're doing in Japan is really interesting. Like, give it out to the rest of the world. Do I want to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey on my Switch? Fuck yes, I do.
Imagine going from the Wii U to the Switch.
Yeah, mad.
I feel like that's in the Nintendo cycle, though, right? Like, every now and then one of their gimmicks doesn't pay off. Like, the GameCube was an absolute stinker. Yeah. I love the GameCube, but sales-wise it was a stinker. Yeah. And they're like, well, what if we put a magic wand in the next one? 110 million consoles sold.
Yeah. And then
they say,
what if we change that magic wand to a tablet and no one fucking buys it? And then they say, what if we just get rid of the console, just keep the tablet, and there's fucking sells like gangbusters.
Exactly.
There's no rhyme or reason.
I like the bit in the middle where before they'd move from the magic wand to the tablet, they were like, what if we gave these people a weird board that they balance on and they could do yoga with it, and gave them plastic knobbly bits to stick on their end of their magic wands to make them feel like they're really playing golf.
And it worked.
Only in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did work to some degree, didn't it? I had one of those balance boards.
You had it. Yeah, everyone had one of those balance boards. Because everyone's like, this is it. Yeah. I've been waiting my whole life for a video game to make me thin, and I finally found it.
Now I'm going
to
do yoga every day for hours on end.
I wasn't quite good at Mario Kart before, so I think I'm going to buy this wheel to put this wand in, because having this small plastic wheel will make me that much better at this game.
Now it's like real driving.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not.
Now my cousin can come around and she'll understand it, and everyone gets it. Everyone has a go.
Hey.
Let's all do boxing.
Leave the wheel alone. I'm waiting for them to get a Switch wheel.
I'm not going to bad
the whole fucking
the Switch is a wheel.
I bet that exists.
Yeah, probably somewhere. Christmas is coming.
All I want is I want a frame that like wraps around my head and suspends the Switch in midair just like the perfect amount, of, the perfect distance in front of me, but it's stuck on my head, so where I move.
It's like those camera rigs that they've got for movies. You know, when they're like on those comedies, where the guy's running away, and it's like following.
Or like, you know, the motion capture rigs they got now, where it's like a helmet and it like
with the light in front.
I just put the Switch there.
I thought you were suggesting that because of that, like last time you said you were playing a Switch laying in bed, holding it above you, and your arms went numb. So you want it above you so you can lay in bed.
Drain out of my arms.
Hey, listen, we could take one of these microphone arms and just attach a Switch to them, right?
It's a new DIY strand. We have to make your own Nintendo Switch helmet.
Jonesy's chomping at the bit for some DIY.
Definitely.
He is. He's going to do all that architraving he's been doing in his spare time.
Well, yeah, so I mean, look, there's not too much to talk about there, but just some really impressive numbers, and I'm happy that the Switch is doing well. But it's crazy that like the Switch is the fastest selling video game console of this generation. That is mad.
Do you know what
that's on track to be like killer.
Do you know what that suggests to me, Chris?
Yeah.
Is that physical hardware is alive and well, Mr.
Jones. Oh, Alex Jones with
it ain't going anywhere.
The next console's not going to exist because everyone's going to be on the cloud.
For 3 minutes.
It is at the moment. Give it 5 years.
What do you mean it is at the moment?
Bonesaw.
Mate, 5 years ago in 2013, everyone was like, well, this is the end. This is the end. This is it.
This is definitely the end this time.
5 years later, it's like, well, this is the fastest selling it's ever been.
All right.
Apart from the PlayStation 2.
The night is darkest just before the dawn.
Wow, there we go. Okay. Fucking and the dark night.
Your predictions are worse just before they're wrong.
All right.
Well done.
Get it?
Okay, guys, moving on to everyone's favorite, the comments section.
Hooray.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right, so we asked our followers on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the Discord for our patrons to send us through some questions. So, you know, Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV, Facebook, All Time Gaming Official. Discord is, you got to pledge a dollar, baby.
Shout out to all the folks in the Discord right now.
Hell yeah. We always have a good time chatting to them. All right, but let's get started, okay? Bull Chugger. 89923.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Bull Chugger.
It doesn't matter what the question is. I love this guy.
There we go.
Bull Chugger.
He or her, presumably. I mean, chugging that bull. Who knows?
It's a gaming channel.
Yeah.
It's a man.
All right. What game have you spent the most time playing over the course of your life? That's a juicy question.
That is a tough one.
I think we've got to try and rattle through these comments, though. So let's not dwell on it too much. All right. So, Jamie, what do you reckon?
Honestly, I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because that My Life and PlayStation thing that we referenced earlier completely changed my perspective on how much time I spent on games. Turns out I played FIFA 15 for 750 hours.
That is ridiculous.
That's mad. FIFA 15?
FIFA 15.
Wow.
Which meant that 1 year between September 2014, September 2015, I played 750 hours of that FIFA game.
But we do know that maybe it might have been a bit glitched. Because we've seen people have played like 1 minute of a game and it'd be
all of my hours. All of my top three were FIFA games and they were all between three and 700 hours.
I believe it.
Yeah. So I'm honestly at this point, I'm going to say it's one of those FIFA games, or failing that, it is Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Oh, top.
Because I know I spent a good couple of hundred hours in that.
It's a good game. I mean, I can't vouch for the FIFA ones, but hey, that's a great game. Jonesy, what are you saying?
I have no idea. I'm just going to have to guess.
Cobalt Space Program.
Do you know what? I've played a lot of that. to be fair, I've played a lot of that. Although similarly, I did the My PlayStation 4 thing, and it said my most played game on PS4 was The Witcher 3, which I played for 75 hours.
So. 75. Ooh.
Although, mate, do you know what? It's probably not. It's probably something like Overwatch that I just played like game after game, like for days. And
right.
Then,
yeah.
But I. But maybe
one of those
not.
Ones where time gets away from you.
Yeah. And, yeah. 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 So I'm not too sure. I must admit,
Tough question.
I'm it is a tough question, especially because like when you're younger, you don't really have those metrics, right? Yeah.
Then again, you're a PC gamer, so I feel like you have
all the metrics.
Well, no, in a way, okay, so. What I can say for sure,
I know what it is already.
Dota 2. Yeah, it's Dota 2. I mean, it's
10,000 hours of Dota 2.
It's not that bad. It's like over 2,000 hours.
Jesus,
I mean,
heavy.
But I would say it's either between that or Diablo 2 because I used to crank out Diablo 2. In fact, I almost failed a year in high school because of Diablo 2. Thank you very much. My mark of shame. But yeah, it's between those two. And you know what? I'm happy with the amount of time that I'm spending in those games.
They're both very you games.
Hell yeah. And you know what? Like, I mean, when you've been playing a game since 2012,
Yeah, that is
my
bad.
Case with Dota 2. Look, it's getting harder and harder as the years go by to sink more time into it because, you know, life and family commitments get in the way, as well as running a fucking gaming channel.
Don't know what you're talking about.
It's like the Jurassic Park line of life finds a way, but it's just slightly different. Life gets in the way.
Life gets in the way. Yeah.
Chris is our version of Jeff Goldblum.
He absolutely is.
Hey, you know, the calendar's going to come out where I'm like doing that
great.
Fucking
can't wait,
shirtless
yeah.
little post. All right, guys, let's move on. Another question from Madman20. I think we featured him last
week.
Big up
the Madman.
Big up the Madman. Madman20. Since 2018 is at its end, which video game you guys kept going back to that was released this year? Also, which announced video game of 2019 can you not wait to play? Some good questions.
The first half of the question, which game do we keep going back to this year, basically?
Yes.
Quick, easy one for me. It's probably Spider-Man.
Spider-Man,
I kept
yeah.
going back to it until I 100%ed it, and then I've been playing the DLC, and I'm still playing it. So there you go.
Nice.
It's weird to pick a game that only came out a couple of months ago, but I did go back to Black Ops 4 more times than I thought I would.
Wow, okay.
I like that Call of Duty game.
All right, interesting. For me, I don't know. You know what? Maybe Dead Cells.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's one of mine as well.
Yeah.
Not to steal yours.
Oh, steal my thunder. But Dead Cells is very, it's such an easy game to kind of dip in and out of. Like, you'll play it and you'll rinse it for like a couple of days, and then you'll just be like, you know what, I'm done. Right. And then like, you'll leave it, and then maybe you'll see an article or someone will be talking about it. You'll be like, you know what, I got to scratch that itch again.
Yeah, 100% get it.
Yeah, all right. And then which games of 2019 are you guys most excited for? Look, we are doing six lists of our most anticipated games of 2019. So, you know, look forward to that in the new year, early new year. But yeah, just a quick one, rattle through them.
If we can add the caveat that games that don't have a release date, like Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2,
I mean,
don't count.
Yeah, let's say they don't count because we don't know.
I mean, a couple that I picked out for myself the other day were The Division 2.
Yeah.
Rage 2. What else did I pick out? I can't remember. I mean, I know you've got a couple.
Yeah, I mean, Anthem looks pretty sweet, but I'm, you know, it's EA, so I'm cautious.
Yep.
I'm really not interested in Division 2. I was the biggest Division 1 kind of fucking fan before it released, and then it released, and I was like, yeah, nah, not for me.
I've been burnt as well.
Oh!
I hope the Division 2 is good, because I like the Division 1 an awful lot.
Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed what Division 1 wanted to do, and if they do it, if they pull it off of Division 2, I'll come right back into it.
Do you know what the thing is? You were talking about value for money with Below earlier and how you got your money's worth. The only thing the Division dropped the ball on for me was the post game, which meant I spent 60 hours playing a game I very much enjoyed.
That's fair.
Even if it's the same thing with Division 2, it's going to be frustrating that another AAA loot-driven games as a service style thing fucked up after Destiny fucked up, Destiny 2 fucked up, and The Division fucked up.
At this stage, they're all going to fuck up, so...
Like, it's like Diablo 3 was the big example of, like, hey, here's maybe how not to do this at launch, but how to fix it as time goes on.
True, yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
To the point where, didn't some Diablo 3 people come on to help shape The Taken King, which was the expansion that fixed Destiny 1.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Yeah, Destiny 2 was still fucked.
Yeah, how that happened.
Because what happened is those people went, they did Taken King, they were like, all right, you guys know what, you good? Yep. You good? And they were like, yes, thanks for helping. And then they went back to
and there's always,
Diablo Immortal or some fucking bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, like, they've forgotten everything they
There's always an excuse, and like that Division team are like, oh, well, there's two teams and we didn't have enough time to take what we learned from The Taken King to put it in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm over it.
Yeah,
make a third one. I'll probably buy it, but make it good.
Yeah,
that's it.
Like last chance.
Unless they make
no more chances.
Unless they make a fourth.
Unless four, and then five.
Well, because I've hated every Destiny game, but man, have I played 100 hours
of it. Another game that I'm really, really excited about, actually more so than Anthem and Division 2, etc. And it was a surprise to me that this game actually got me in a way that I'm so excited for. And that's Devil May Cry 5.
Yes.
Never been a big Devil May Cry fan. I played them. They're enjoyable games, sure. I've never been mad about them. But something about just like the engine that they're using, which is obviously the Resident Evil 7 engine, and I can't remember what it's called, but it just looks so good. The gameplay looks damn fun. Just looks like a good time. And I think 2019, I'm looking for good times in games.
You just reminded me of what my other one was.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2.
Remake.
Remake.
Yeah,
in
that
January.
Looks sweet. That
also in January, Kingdom Hearts.
I don't think any of us are really Kingdom Hearts people.
No, it's going to be a big deal. You know,
I played a bit of it, and I'm kind of like, oh, maybe I will play it.
Yeah, but you will pick, but this is the thing. You will pick it up. You'll play it for like a handful of hours, and then be like, nah.
Jonesy will buy it because the internet's talking about it. Yeah, Jonesy, maybe. I know you picked out Rage 2 and...
Rage 2 was the one I think that this year, everything I've seen of, I'm like, yes, I'm totally on board.
It's grown on
Rage
me. 2. Like when they announced it, I was like, nah, but it's grown on me.
I think also the Far Cry... I saw the Far Cry trailer for the first time. I was like, that looks cool. I want to see what that's going on with.
Funnily enough, he's picked basically the same game from two different developers. Yes. Post-apocalyptic worlds with a pink hue.
Both Jonesy games. Then the other one I'm looking forward to is Metro.
That looks good. Oh, I hope it's good. It looks good.
I'll also say briefly that I hope Crackdown 3 is good. And I think it would be fun if us three found some time to play the Cuphead DLC.
That'd be good.
If that
be
manages
good.
To come out.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get streaming up and running.
Indeed.
All right, next one from Felicity Trustworthy, which is a great name and a female.
Sounds made up.
Is she trustworthy?
I don't know. Is she Felicity?
Is she? With the news that Sony is doubling down on single-player exclusives, do you think the industry is finally hearing the backlash to the microtransaction and online-only playscape we find ourselves in today? Certainly Fallout 76 has not helped that cause of an online-only kind of persistent world.
My honest answer is no.
Yeah.
I think it's great what Sony are doing. I think it's a great initiative, but I identify Sony's roots in sort of championing AAA single-player linear story-driven games. You know, I think Uncharted 2 was the first big AAA cinematic first-person game out of Sony that I was like, wow. You know, I'm glad games like this. Like, I remember the PS3, and it was still things like Uncharted 2 and God of War 3 and Heavy Rain, and that stuff was still happening. You know, The Last of Us was now 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't changed the fact that games as a service and games riddled with microtransactions and all that kind of stuff, they're still a thing.
Yeah.
They're going to coexist.
Yeah, it's probably just going to be fragmented, right? Like you're going to have those studios that are always going to be like, you know what, first party. Yeah. Like first party studios are going to be like, you know what, we're doing single player, and you know, like if you want a multiplayer, that's maybe for someone else to sort out.
You look at the games, you know, we just picked out, the games we know about. We picked out in the same list, we picked out games like Resident Evil 2 or Devil May Cry 5 and Kingdom Hearts 3, which for all intents and purposes are single player, narrative driven, AAA experiences. We also picked out Anthem and The Division 2, which are going to be more games as a service. You know, they're gonna have, you know, big season passes. They're gonna be constantly updated. There's gonna be lots of content. That some of it's gonna be paid, some of it's gonna be free. That model's gonna continue, and those two types of games are gonna coexist. And I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. No, I think they will have their cake and eat it. I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah, I think
James is absolutely right.
Why can't I answer questions in four? I'm going to answer the next question in five words. I'm fed up. Jonesy talked for ages, and I'll say it in five words, please.
Right, okay, here is the next one. Crystal Myth, which is a great name.
Okay, not Crystal Meth.
Not Crystal Meth. Crystal Myth wants to know, or says, I'm still shocked Valve hasn't made Portal 3 a Vive exclusive to move units. After playing the lab, I can tell they really could do it, right? It would be the first party killer app VR needs. Twin portal guns would be an epic gimmick and would solve the box room limitation, since we often use teleportation to move in VR already. Though verticality would be a challenge, it may be a worthy one. I think this is one that Jonesy can kind of rip into, and you can give a five-word answer.
I would absolutely love it if they made Portal 3 a Vive game, and it was.
I'd love it if they made Portal 3.
Well, this is to start off with.
Right?
This is what I was going to say, right? So that would be an amazing VR title, and yes, you've hit the nail on the head. One of the biggest problems with VR is the movement, and if you've got the box room thing that the Vive has, yeah, for sure, you could absolutely base the game on that, and you could tie in a few ways of like jumping and things that mean you can get through to portals, and the game could work seamlessly without having to run around, which you can't do in those VR games. And the lab was absolutely phenomenal. Like, I love that as well. It was a great showcase for what VR games can look like and how you can interact with them and how you use that sort of that world. And And having twin guns would be absolutely fantastic. However, there's no goddamn way they're going to make Portal 3 a Vive exclusive and have it just based just for VR. It's not going to happen. Absolutely, they should have a version that works.
Yeah,
on the Vive,
VR and compatible.
VR, well, maybe not even. Maybe they can do something to make it more than compatible. If you know what I mean. So it's not okay. Just a rehashing of the. Of the normal game for VR.
Yeah, sure.
But to be fair, they probably will just make it VR compatible. It's not going to be mainly VR game.
This is interesting, right? Because
the audience is far too small. Like, not enough people own Vives to make that viable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think a couple of things need to happen, right? Like, obviously, the entry point for VR needs to go way down. Like, talking like PSVR levels for PC. Which is a challenge, a massive challenge.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'd even say lower than that. Like, they've got to do something. I mean, even the fact that you need such a hefty graphics card just to run that is another problem, right? Even if you drop the price of 250,
you almost need
you're still screwed with your graphics card.
Yeah, you almost need like an external VR computing unit, right? But anyway, look, there are VR headsets for PC that are like, I think they were like $200. They've dropped down to that, like Lenovo, Acer. They've all got these headsets. But, they need to improve. They need to be better. They do need that first-party killer app that Crystal Myth was talking about. Now, interestingly enough, there have been rumors swirling around for a number of years and probably for a number of years going forward from this point on, but about Half-Life VR.
I think it would be the worst thing they could do.
I don't know. I think it could be okay. And I think if... Because, like... Valve are a company that are throwing a lot of money at R&D for VR, and they're not just doing it for themselves; they're doing it for the benefit of the ecosystem.
Yes.
Okay. So
I think it's the future. I definitely think it's the future. Don't get me wrong. However,
I don't know. I think VR has taken a huge knock, and I think it needs a lot to come back.
The future is in. Okay, we can talk about like 10 years, 20 years, and say it's not going to be the biggest thing. In like 100 years' time, I think VR will be. The biggest thing, because if you got that level of immersion
in 100 years' time,
I think
in 100 years' time, fucking,
I'll be fucking dead. I don't care.
I think if you look at 100 years ago, right, you couldn't even have imagined what we would have nowadays. Yeah. I can't even imagine. That's what I'm saying. In 100 years' time, it'll be ludicrous. It'll be like, what's the film? Blade Runner.
Minority Report.
No, the recent one with the guy with a VR headset and the haptic feedback.
Oh, Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. It'll be Ready Player One.
Maybe.
But we're not there.
But you'd have implants in your head. You wouldn't need any of that.
I don't think we're at the...
Scanning into my eyeballs.
So the problem with that first party thing of like, or the main sort of VR thing that makes it kick off, I don't think the technology is good enough for the VR yet.
Yeah.
They need to fix that problem. They need to fix the fact that you can see the pixels, that you can't move around the environment seamlessly, and no one's going to have one of those omnidirectional trackpads in their living room.
Speak for yourself, mate. I'm already working on prototype.
I would love one, but I'm not going to get one anytime soon. I think they've got a lot of problems they need to solve before they even bother having that game that makes everybody want to jump in.
That's fair. All right, let's...
But Paul will be great in VR.
Okay, hold on. Five words, Jamie. Five word answer.
Shit, does it actually have to be five?
No, okay, let me ask you another question.
I actually just want to say, I actually very much agree with Jonesy.
Yeah.
I think Portal's more likely than Half-Life of VR.
Yeah.
And it's, even then, I don't think it'll be a VR exclusive.
See, I wonder, I don't think Portal, personally, is a good fit for VR.
Like, that's the most insane thing you've ever said.
It's not. No, think about it.
How is Half-Life 3 a better fit than Portal?
I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that Portal is a bad fit for VR. And hear me out, okay? If you think about how you are solving puzzles, etc., at the end of Portal 2,
right?
Okay, where literally you are flung through the air at massive velocity.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, and while you're in the air, you have to place down other portals, etc. It makes sense on paper, but you're telling me that
yes,
everybody is going to be okay with being flung virtually through the air. There's going to be vomit everywhere
in VR. That would be awesome. Yeah.
It would be awesome. It would not work.
You just put a little warning at the start, like they do with Call of Duty. Like, are you sure you want to do the missions where you're going to get flung? And you say, yes, I want to play No Russian and I want to be flung.
See, I think as a like the first five levels of Portal, yeah, definitely. Give me that in VR. As soon as you start going a little bit further, I don't think it's going to work. But anyway.
All in Gabe's hands now.
Gabe we trust. So whatever Gabe thinks is going to work is going to work.
You could be right. If they solve the movement problem, then fair enough. Any game then could work in VR. Because
then it could be a rush, right? It could be like your own personal roller coaster. And I'm on board with that.
Chell's in a wheelchair. Done.
I started writing a game that was all based in a wheelchair. And
VR, yeah, I remember you. Because
that's the, there you go. That's one of the ways to solve the problem.
You're stick bound in a wheelchair. All right, let's move on. Okay, a quick question with a quick answer. Levi Severin from our Discord. So
shout out, Levi.
Thank you, Levi. One of many Levis on our Discord, actually.
Yeah, he is.
Says, will you have a community-styled game day where you three get together and play games with people from the community? So Jamie already plays a couple of games. You've played with Cal from the Discord server. We're going to set up a play date with another person. But indeed, the reason why this is a short answer is because we're really working towards getting streaming up and running. And when we do, rest assured, there will be points, not all the time probably, but at some points there will be like, hey guys, we are playing this game, come play with us.
Yeah, I think we'd all like to play more of the community, right?
Absolutely.
That's one of the things we can take from that.
Yeah. And guys, I think let's wrap it up there, shall we? All right. So once again, if you want your questions or comments or hot takes, controversial opinions, you know, hashed out on this podcast, be sure to reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV and Facebook All Time Gaming Official, or of course on our YouTube comments section. And guys, is there anything else? Any closing statements you want to...
I just want to let everyone listening know that I love them.
Oh, we do love our audience.
And that's it, really.
I guess
first-time listeners or frequent listeners, I love you.
I guess
rate us five stars.
If you're listening to it when it comes out, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a good one.
Yeah, I think this is coming out after Christmas. Or no, before Christmas. Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, and can I steal something from another podcast to listen to? But he does it and I really like it, so I want to do it as well.
All right.
If it's your birthday... Happy birthday. You never know.
Hey, cool.
You never know.
Hey, my mom's birthday is on Christmas Day, so
If you're listening, it's your happy birthday. Sorry, I fucked up. Let's move on.
Well, I can say happy birthday, Mom. And everyone, a happy new year. And, you know, if you're listening to this on a podcast platform, please rate it 5 stars. Leave a rating, a comment. Let us know what you think of it, how you want us to improve or what we're doing right or wrong. And if it's wrong, fuck you. But no.
Strong at the end.
You know, always got to go on strong. And if you're watching on YouTube, you know, a like and a subscribe and a comment goes a really long way. With that, guys, the end of 2018.
Blimey.
Thank you so much. Let us smash 2019 out of the park.
Let's do it.
See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Cool. Thank you, Roche.
Oh, my God. I went through so many different phases.